What's up, guys? Welcome to our, you know, daily, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly podcast sometimes, where we talk about anime and our Lord and Savior, my dad.
Nicolas Cage.
Let's see. We watched, what, two movies last night?
Yeah.
What was the Arcadia?
Arcadian.
And Dream Scenario. Great movie, I'll say.
I didn't know Nicolas Cage was your dad, bro.
If you wondered what my dad looks like, you should watch the movie. It's a one-for-one recreation of him.
I think he's taller.
Did he reply, though?
Oh, yeah, the reply.
He's so upset right now, bro. No,
he's mad at me. Hi, Dad.
This is our fourth, obviously, I don't know if yearly or like bi-yearly
Nicolas Cage review.
Nicolas Cage episode.
What was the first one?
Damn, Nicolas Cage is 6 foot.
Damn. I thought he was shorter.
No. I thought he was like maybe 5'10".
Damn.
6 foot.
6 foot king.
I don't even remember what the first one was.
We did Renfield.
Nope. See, that was the last one.
That was, yeah.
We did Jiu-Jitsu, I think.
That was another one. We did something with that one.
Yeah. But there, I don't remember what the exact first
did
one
did we
was.
Do a ranking of all his movies?
Oh, Color Out of Space.
Oh, and Mandy. And the best one he's ever made, Willy's Wonderland.
We've had many. So this might be the fifth. This might even be the fifth. But the point is, right? This is our dedicated episode to the one, the only Lord and Savior over there in the corner, Nicolas Cage.
Nick fucking Cage.
We also did that way.
I'm just trying to remember if we kind of we grouped some together like we're doing.
We're doing here, right? Because this is just the Nick Cage episode. But today we're going to talk about Arcadian and Dream Scenario.
Please donate a dollar to a podcast so we can have it as a gift.
Let's talk about Arcadia first, since this is the newest one. People probably want to hear about it more.
It was in movie theaters not too long ago.
Yeah.
It's now on Shudder.
Yep. And I would like to say,
Nicolas Cage is not the main character.
No. The issue with Nicolas Cage, I think, right now, in some of these smaller films, I feel like people buy him but can't keep him for long.
Well, or that's the thing. Maybe it's a rate, right? Maybe, like,
To bring people in.
Yeah, well, no, there's that, right? That's true. Maybe there's like a going rate for like what he can do, right? For him to be the main character, it's like the infamous like $2 million or whatever it is, right? But maybe for smaller roles, because I guess he needs a little bit extra, or I think he does enjoy doing.
Oh, yeah, he seems to do smaller films.
There's probably a lower rate for like indie films, kind of how like, you know, Stephen King will sell some of his screenplays for like $2.
I wonder what his going rate is for podcasts.
Someone knows, comment down below.
I don't think he's ever appeared in one.
It's probably like Willy's Wonderland, where he's like, okay, it's $2 million, but you get no lines. I'm like, I'll do it.
Well, maybe it's less. Maybe it's one.
One million, no lines.
You
get no lines, right?
But you're the main character.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So maybe there's this thing, right? Because he's obviously not the main character. He is a side character. He's an important character.
Very important
character.
But
he's not the main character, right?
Which was the main character the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then... That's what happens. Last 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. My hero.
So this movie is a post-apocalyptic thriller, kind of.
Yeah.
/ horror film. Monster movie.
It's a monster horror movie.
Taking place at night. Yeah, taking place in some undisclosed location that looks like the UK or Ireland specifically,
which is not part of Ireland.
Yeah. It's filmed in Ireland, but everyone's wearing and sounds like Americans.
Except for the one guy.
Except that one guy.
Well, you know.
So, you know, undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location next to a large city.
Yeah.
Even though it's never mentioned what that city is or anything like that.
I think it's supposed to be like, just like here, it's, you know, general U.S. area.
Yeah, sure.
General East Coast.
Yeah.
It definitely has more of an East Coast vibe than the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Natural greenery, sheep. Which, honestly, I don't think I've seen many sheep in my day. I don't think it's the U.S. I think it's just expats that were in Ireland or the U.K. or whatever.
It doesn't really explain it.
No.
Even the opening scene when it has a blown up city.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's like a city you'd know of.
No, because this movie is not really interested in the world building of the apocalypse as much as it is just in this minor little character drama and making interesting looking creatures.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, he's Nicolas Cage. He's a single dad with two baby kids at the beginning of the apocalypse. Obviously, they're teenagers now. And they live in a farm.
Yep, they live on a farm.
On a farm.
There's some other farms in the valley.
Allegedly.
Of which we only see one in this film.
Well, there's allegedly another 23 people.
Yeah.
Well, split in different farms. At the end of
the movie. Yeah. So, but it shows very standard, almost like zombie apocalypse beginning, where it shows them, you know, living in the farm, doing stuff, shuttering and boarding the house.
You got to get home before the sunset.
Yeah.
Usual Minecraft, you know, you do your crafting during the day so you can hide at night.
Yeah, exactly. So they're playing Minecraft here in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Live action Minecraft.
Live action Minecraft. And then you get a little taste of the horror outside, right? Yeah. You hear the banging on the door. There are foreshadowing to the things might be more intelligent than they might seem. So it doesn't go out of the way to be like zombie apocalypse. Like, it's not like this is a zombie.
Could be alien. Yeah, it could be just a monster.
I mean, there's a scene where two teenagers are like, oh, explain the apocalypse in 10 seconds. And one is basically like, oh, it was the bugs.
Yeah.
And then another one is like, it's werewolves or something.
The purple haze.
Mutation, blah, blah, blah. Nobody knows.
Yeah. So none of them know, like, what caused it. They just know there's things that exist that go bump in the night and want to do something to you.
Yep.
And that's kind of how it is. And it's obviously just is like your standard character drama in this type of scenario. You have two kids. You have the
horny teenager.
You have the horny teenager.
And your nerd teenager.
And, yeah, your nerd. Your super smart nerd teenager. With their dad being Nicolas Cage.
I think the movie would have been good if it was just them three dynamically. And that's all you dealt with.
I thought, well, when I saw the commercial, I thought it was just that. It was just them three. And I'm like, what the fuck, this other farm shit?
Yeah, because I think it would have been better. It would have been more focused, less like, you could have had more scenes with like learning what the monster is, what's going on, with them trying to figure out within their small three-person family.
No, I like that. And I do like the beginning of it. And I do like a little bit of the mystery of what the, you know, what it is. But I feel in every single one of these like post-apocalyptic whatevers, the easiest way to artificially inseminate drama is
add
to just
more humans.
Is add more humans.
This year to me is like it's same thing when you do zombies.
Yeah.
It's like yes, season one, movie one.
Yeah,
it's all about
the zombie threat, yeah.
Or the threat. Period. Yeah. And then season two is about like let's add humans to the threats because it makes it more drama filled.
Yeah, it's not the only thing you have to worry about.
Yeah. That shit. But it, like going to the family, the other family, they never felt like they were a threat. They never felt like they were going to be helpful. They just kind of felt like they were there.
Yeah. Well, I think they exist for a couple of things. They exist to appear to be greener pastures.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you look at the green farm, they have animals.
They have animals.
It looks protected. Everybody's got guns and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's more people there.
Yeah. There's like a full dynamic of, because it's like 10 people.
It was a compound.
Yeah, it's like a mini compound, right? Yeah. So compared to like their dingy little farm with just the three of them, right? It looks like greener pastures.
Yeah.
And so that's what exists as. It doesn't really exist to be an antagonistic threat. It just exists to be a threat to the family dynamic because it looks better.
Yeah. I understand why it's there. It just feels like it's a movie number two scenario.
Basically, the main struggle is that the horny kid goes and visits this other farm frequently.
With this horny kid.
Because there's another teenage girl in there, obviously. Which pisses off the other brother because they have shit to do at the farm. And the dad was like, do this. I'm like, but I want to go see my girlfriend. And that's the tension.
Yeah. It's what breaks that family dynamics when you have this kid that believes the other place is better. So he kind of leaves.
Until they fuck him.
Well, you know, he was trying to steal stuff.
It was given to him.
I don't know. Like, that whole other compound just didn't feel right. Like, there's nothing about it I liked. Like, even the people... when he steals the drugs.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like they were ever there to show like they were meant to be evil or against them. Like, I feel like the only scene you see that is when he comes to help him, they were eyeing him weird.
Yeah.
But it never felt like there was that much tension.
No, and I think they're just, I think there's a lot of visual shorthand in this movie, because the thing with movies like this, right, it's only an hour and a half, right? It's not like it's
really
like,
short.
That's also not like, shaky, huh?
We're going to talk about that. Not right now, but it is like it's a 90-minute movie, right? It's not very long. There's not a lot of things to establish. So when you have like an indie movie like this that is a genre film, right?
Yeah.
You'll use a lot of visual shorthand because it's easier than explaining things, because there's so many tropes in that genre and so many things that we're used to from that type of film that we can just be like, oh, this is this scene that we have to scratch off the box, right? Yeah. This is this scene. And I feel like that's what those people are. It's not, they're not actively antagonistic. They're not an active antagonist, right, to these people. They're just meant to feel, oh, this is the other farm. But if shit goes south,
yeah,
then they'll do what every other person in that thing does and be like, well, fuck everybody else, right?
I think it was introduced when they brought in the dad and they're like, he's dying, we need help. And they're like, well, we ain't got enough shit for all of us. So, you know, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's meant to, I mean, that scene, right, is meant to highlight the naivety of like the stupid horny kid, right?
Fuck that kid.
Or no, even, he's just too stupid, though, I feel like.
I don't know, man.
In this scenario, I don't.
I feel like there's a lot of people like that.
Very teenager.
Yeah, very teenager. Very.
Remember, I don't know. Watched that tunnel movie, the anime movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
But I feel like it's different when you have an actual family member dying in front of your eyes, and then you go, ah, you know what? But the horny girl.
No, but
it's like, I feel like the family at that moment is probably more important.
Yes, than you fucking. But it's like what's the word I'm looking for? It's exacerbated by everything that's happening, right? So what he sees is an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to, one, help his dad, which that is important to him. Yeah, it is. But also to do the other thing that he wants to do, which is basically merge with this other with this other farm, right?
He's thinking
with
his dig right
now. Yeah, exactly. So he's still, there's still the immediate response of, yo, my dad's hurt and he needs help. But at the same time, it's like, yo, I got this brilliant idea. I can help him.
I don't think he had any idea. No,
but the thing is, that's not conscious, right? It's not a conscious, I'm doing this, right? Yeah. It's like, it's a subconscious, yo, everything I want to happen can happen if we do this.
I think it was more the, you know, the dad thing situation. He wants to help him. They're like, oh, let's go to the farm. And they're like, no, we can't help you. And then they were about to leave. But that's when the other brother called them out, like, Nadu, you did this because of your stupid horny ass.
Yeah.
And he got upset because he called him out. And then because he was up there, I'm like, fine, fuck you, I'll stay with this family.
Well, and that's all the conflict of this film, right? All the conflict is this kid being, I guess, being a selfish teenager, right? Which I guess that's what it is. Where the other brother, is your standard neurotypical, right, kid.
Yeah.
That looks at the situation just differently, right? With his own behavior and stuff. And he's the one that always calls out the other one's bullshit because he understands the situation everybody's in.
Yeah.
Even with that thing with the dad, and he's just like, yo, do you really think they're going to help us? Like, no, of course not. It's like, I wouldn't help us, right?
Yeah.
Because he understands the overall situation, where I feel like this other brother is like, I guess, coddled to a certain degree where he can't comprehend how bad it is because he sees the sunshine and rainbows on the other side.
Yeah, but at that point, if I was the other brother, I'd be like, no, you go and bring medicine back.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, you know.
But he's also a pushover, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the issue is like there's like no dynamic between them two that was like a give and take. It just felt like he was just there to do roles so the other brother can fuck it up.
Oh, of course.
At all times.
Oh, yeah.
I call it a monster. Useless.
Yeah.
I did this. Useless. And it's just like, it felt like he was almost, every time he was on screen, it was to fuck something up for no reason.
Oh, yeah. That's what he exists. He's just a foil.
Yeah.
His character, that's what I said.
And like, I'd rather have the monsters be the foil at that point. Because, you know, they're intelligent. That's what you've learned throughout the movie. But it just felt like, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. Like, even when they were doing the monsters were doing traps, it's like, why were they starting to learn these? I felt like there's so much we could have learned from the monsters.
Oh, of course. Like I said, there could have been so much done in the world building as a whole, right? And just expanding like the creature, the monster in a monster movie as the threat. But I feel like interhuman drama is a crutch that a lot of these movies use, and that's what they decided to go with.
Yeah. It's like Halo. You need to have dialogue and facial features so we can know what everyone's feeling at all times.
Yeah, because in any of these types of films, that's always the case, right? Interhuman drama is always the crutch because a lot of people like drama, right? And so that's – but the thing is when you're shooting for a monster film like this where it's not your typical zombie, because I feel like in a zombie film, it's a lot easier to get away with it because everyone knows what a zombie is.
Yeah. It's easy. You go, okay, you just tap it in the head. We move on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what the threat is. Maybe you might spice it up a little, like the 28 days later and they can run or some bullshit.
Or fucking World War Z movie where they run up each other.
But the point is you understand conceptually what a zombie is.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about it. It's a background piece to human drama. Where in this case, you have such, I will say, interesting creature design.
I wish they would have kept it a secret for longer.
I don't think I think it was fine.
What's not that long of a film?
I know, but like, and you don't it got introduced halfway point.
Yeah,
which I would have liked it to be seen at the end, like the last third of the movie.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I do like seeing pieces of it.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's the part I like about it being introduced when it was. It wasn't like I saw a lot of it. It was like little scenarios, like the finger thing.
Like, that scene was nice.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't even show anything, really. It just showed his arm. His hand coming out and trying to touch him. And then you don't really see him, like, when they capture him. It's still really dark. Oh, they don't show it. I feel like when they actually fully show it is about the three-quarter point where it's like, this is what the creature can fully do.
Yeah.
So what it looks like.
I didn't mind the pacing for the creature.
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel like the scene where they kill it in the house is a little
waste.
It's kind of a waste. Yeah. It's a weird scene. It doesn't feel right.
But it feels like the creature is also scared, like way too scared for what it is. It's like, oh, I gotta be afraid of the thing that caught me, and then it runs away, and then it fights back.
Well, it's like the sunlight in the room.
Well, it's like any creature, right? It's like the fucking rat people in Shinsekai Yori, right?
Rat people.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Where like the individual is afraid of the human, but as a collective, they're we're gonna fuck up their shit, right?
Yeah.
And that's what this creature is. And
strength in numbers.
Yeah, strength in numbers, right?
Because these are strength in one seems very strong with these creatures, too.
Oh, yeah. But even if the creature is an amalgamation of all these other things, right? Because this is what it is. It's still, it has the archetype of being vermin.
Yeah.
Right? And it acts like vermin.
What I would have really liked, I think, at either the halfway point or towards the end, because you know how we see him eat like the person?
Yeah.
A, that scene, I think the movie's a little too dark. Maybe it might be just like the screen we're watching it on. But it's like I wanted to understand what was going on there. It'd been interesting, you know, like when he fell down the well.
Yeah.
And the dog went to go find them, whatever.
Yeah.
And it'd have been interesting if he fell onto like a layer of them. You can see like them maybe digesting people. Yeah. I can't talk.
Like even if you don't see the creature, seeing like what they're capable of.
Yeah.
I think would introduce. It's like Alien. Would make them scarier.
Yeah. It's like Alien when you find the eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a scary scene. It's just like, oh, so they reproduce by eggs, and then they turn into this little fucking creature, and they suck each other's faces, which is hot, but you know, it's like,
what the heck's going on?
Which I thought was
amazing.
And I do like the creature design. I do think it's funny that the director said that Goofy was one of the inspirations for it. But
like once you said that, I'm like, I can see it now.
I see it.
Yeah, the weird horse head.
Yeah.
Or you reminded me of, like I said, that Bloodborne boss. It's Ludwig, right?
Yeah. Streamer. I love that guy.
Yeah, totally. But it's like the weird horse monster head thing, and but
because they even showed in like good frames where I guess you could pause it and like fully look at it. And it looks good. Like surprisingly,
cool.
Like a monster film in this day and age, you can still do interesting designs.
It's a cool creature, and the fact that it's like a mixture of like all these different animal types, where you have an extendo arm, they're covered in bugs or like bugs come off of them.
Deal with them. Yeah. That didn't make sense.
Maybe it's like what's it called when they like help each other to live.
Yeah. Like there's like a symbiosis to it.
Yeah.
Right. They're a symbiotic creature. Cause there's a insinuation that the world fell to pollution or some bullshit, yeah. right?
Because like when the kid goes scavenging, he gets caught with all the little bugs. Roaches.
Roaches, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, maybe he's going to bring it back. This world will get it. Like maybe they come from the bugs. Maybe the werebugs. Like that would have been interesting.
I first thought they were like bug creatures, like giant cockroaches or something.
Terraformers
like
first from like that one anime.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Giant cockroaches.
The Terraformers.
Yeah.
But it's such a like it's such an interesting character design and a concept for a creature that I do feel like is wasted in interpersonal drama.
Because I feel like this movie, if you take out the people and maybe leave the main three, mm-hmm. and you can still have him go off to supposedly go see this girl, but just don't show it because it's just kind of obvious what's going on.
Yeah.
If you take that out, add a little bit more like mystery in the monsters. Maybe like when he, you know, how he starts to dissect the creature. Maybe you find something interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was also a waste of a scene. He dissected the creature after he killed it.
And then there's nothing that comes out.
And there he didn't learn anything, or there's nothing given to us to tell us maybe this will help him in the mm-hmm. fight.
Yeah.
It just felt like here's another scene we need to, like you say, check mark off the box, mm-hmm. and we'll just move on.
Yeah.
I think it was just more to drive more drama between the brothers. Because definitely he was going to study it to see how they can fight back or whatever, because that's what he wanted. But this other dude was like, no, I'm going to kill it now. And then they killed it.
Yeah. But I said, I just mean waste. The dissecting scene at that, like after just felt like it was just wasted.
And it never led to anything. Yeah.
5 minutes, whatever it was.
Maybe just like the cut of the movie. He's a director's cut.
Maybe the real movie's 5 hours long.
Yeah, yeah.
But they said if you take all the humans out, I think this movie would have been like a pretty good movie, like an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, I would have bet. Yeah.
The only other issue I had was just, you know, dialogue. The camera was pretty good the whole time. They had that good stable shot.
Those zooms were all the fun.
That one zoom.
The one that like
motherfucker doesn't have a follow focus.
But it wasn't even like a zoom. It was like a, you know, like when you use your phone and you're recording.
Yeah,
but it was like if you did, like you moved maybe a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
Like I could still see the rest of the scene. It's not like you zoomed in much. It didn't focus on anything differently either. It
felt like a stylistic zoom that didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the quick zoom.
Yeah.
But it's not a movie that uses those. It's the only time that appeared. And I'm like, why was this choice made? Why did you do this?
I gotta look up something.
Also, this is like the shakiest handheld cam movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dude, there's scenes where they're not moving.
I mean, like Cloverfield bad, but
it's like if we're talking now for like 10 minutes. The guy's still like, he's like,
yeah, but
I'm tired, boss.
At least the thing with Cloverfield, right, is it's kind of expected. You know, if a person's holding a fucking camera while they're running from giant creature, you know, it's going to be a little shaky, right? That's fine. I understand this. This is okay. But this is not that. This is not first person. This is not found footage. This is a dude with a camera. When stabilizers exist.
They couldn't afford a real good
camera
guy.
YouTubers. He's a fucking cat, like a DJI Ronin or something like that. I mean, it's not end of the world, you know?
I'm just trying to see if there's like what it was filmed on.
No, I tried looking it up yesterday.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I couldn't find anything.
Oh, it's pretty mid, though.
Yeah, it's pretty
mid. I think as
I had high expectations.
Did?
Oh, well. It looked good from the commercial. I'm like, dude, I want to see this shit. And it has Nicolas Cage sold.
Yeah, monster trailer. And then, what would you rate it?
6.
Oh, okay.
And that camera puts it at a 5.5 for me. I can't do it.
It had potential, but like certain parts of the story just really turned me off.
Because like for me, like it gets Nicolas Cage bump, which is now an extra point.
Okay, that's understandable.
I still give it like a 4.
Yeah, it's like a 5.5.
I think this movie, I just don't like the story.
No,
I think the story in this really hinders it for me. And the camera just really...
Oh, good Lord,
because, like, in the first scene, I remember saying, I'm like, God, the camera's hurting my eyes. Because it felt like the frame rate was off and the shaky cam was, like, extreme.
That,
so it just hurt.
That could have been just a stutter, right? Because they're filming it, obviously, probably at 24 FPS.
Well, yeah. Plus, we're also watching it streaming, so you never know what we lose.
But the shakiness, like... Even if you consider your standard like handheld shot, like there's so many ways to keep that steady, especially on a static shot.
Yeah.
I understand movement shots. There's movement.
Yeah, are you doing a fight scene? Yeah, you want to make it more dynamic. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Whatever, right? I get that. But, I mean, for, like, a static just dialogue, even if you are shooting it, like, what they call documentary style,
yeah.
right, which is just, you know, run and gun handheld, I mean, documentaries ain't shaky.
The steadiest shot was when they were in the side-by-side.
And it was a fisheye.
Because it was a fucking probably like Insta 360 bolted onto the rail.
I'm surprised it wasn't the guy just running next to him. He's like, yeah, keep driving, guys.
I got it.
Oh, my God. The last shot of the movie. The credits, right? The movie's like.
Oh, dude. Oh.
I'm like, get that man a sling. Get them at an arm rest. Homeboy's tired holding that camera up.
If you need a cameraman, I bet you I can hold it steadier than that, man. I'll do it.
Most like high-end cameras have like in-image stabilization as well. I mean, I don't see where this is coming from.
It was multiple directors, right, in this movie?
Well, there's one.
Oh, it's one director.
There's a lot of co-directors under.
Co-directors.
Fuck if I know. But there's a lot of co-directors under. Huh. There's like three of them.
Okay.
But there is one, the credited. If you, like, go to IMDb or whatever.
Benjamin Brew. Because I went to click on him because I want to see what he did. Basically, I think this
is... He was one of the big proponents of the creature design. Also, I guess the creature was going to look more cartoonish. And Nicolas Cage was like, nah, fam. You gotta make this bitch look more real.
He's done 10 movies, yeah. but some of them are, like, short.
Oh, of course.
Just like Skrillex and Duplo featuring Justin Bieber music video.
Yeah, he did. It's like, yeah.
Cartoonish monster.
The big thing,
because it was going to be a little more goofy.
Yeah.
The big thing he's known for is Everything Everywhere All at Once visual effects.
So he worked on, because I mean the visuals are good.
Oh, yeah.
Here, like the CGI for the creatures and the mocap.
There's one visual effect I'd argue is bad. Is I don't know if it was. I thought that was okay.
Yeah, I thought that was okay.
No, it was when Nicolas Cage was sitting by the
water.
I don't know if that was VFX or
the waterfall,
or if that was just really bad camera shooting.
That might have been.
I couldn't tell.
It could have been.
But that one scene.
It could have just been very, very bad lighting on a camera. Yeah, because
it looked like the water was moving at a weird frame rate compared to the rest of it, too.
Yeah. But that could have been in lens,
yeah.
in camera issues. But it does look like there's a green screen behind him.
Well, let's talk about the other film.
All right. Dream Scenario.
My dad movie.
We needed a palate cleanser after that movie.
Oh, God.
Sure. This was one fucking hell of a palate cleanser, I guess.
This hurt.
Yeah, this hurt. This hurt me.
This was like cringe the movie.
Okay, what were you expecting out of this movie before you watched it?
As usual, I go into movies blind. So the only thing I had was I'm like, Nicolas Cage is in it. Looks like my dad. There's dreams. Maybe we're going for an Everything Everywhere All at Once type of movie. Because it's like maybe Inception-y. But I did not expect this. I thought maybe he was going to jump through dreams, not just people dreamed about him.
Oh, no, I expected cringe. I just didn't think it would hurt so bad as it did. Because I watched the trailer when it premiered on, I think it was, South by Southwest?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, when this movie premiered.
Immediately when that one watches.
This is your kind of thing, though. Yeah. This is you love the cringe.
Yeah.
Or the awkward scenario or whatever's, right? Because that's what this is. This is an awkward dude. Nicolas Cage plays them so well.
He plays awkward dudes and crazy people perfectly.
So well.
I will say the best thing about this film, about any Nicolas Cage film, is if he gets like solo time to fucking spew some dialogue.
That's great.
It's the best thing you'll ever hear.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, the apology scene, top tier.
Yeah, it's cringy as fuck, but it's top tier.
That's great. And I think it's just his willingness to go that far.
Yeah, because it's
like to sell the character.
Yeah, it's like Renfield when he comes out of the place and it's like, who are you? I'm the Dark Lord. He does all the small lines. Yeah. It's like, that's all you need.
Because he goes all in. Yeah. He just goes hard, right? Yeah. Which, I mean, that also means I don't think he's much of an actor for subtlety sometimes. I mean, Pig, I think, is a good example of
that. Pig was really good.
Is a good example of this. But when Nick Cage can go hard, it's great.
I'm not a guy that likes plays. Like, I've seen too many in my life. I'm tired of them. I feel like I want to go see, you know, the single man plays. I want to see it, but
with Nicolas Cage,
just Nicolas Cage. I think would actually be really good.
Nicolas Cage soliloquy.
Yeah, I think it would be really good.
But I mean, the movie's fine. It's
I think the movie's really good.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I like the satire.
Yeah, the satire and like making fun of. Well, because that's what I think that's what it is, basically, right?
Making fun of cancel culture.
Well, yes. A little bit of that, or just the entertainment industry in general, or how the entertainment industry is so, or viral culture, right?
Yeah.
It's so quickly picks things up and puts them down.
Yeah. Right? I also feel like this movie is also going to be taught, it has like a. I don't know what the right word would be, but it feels like they're trying to talk about AI coming up where it's like, I'm not doing this. This was fake.
Oh yeah.
News.
I never told you like that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, but that's how I kind of pictured it towards the end where it's like, this is not me. Like I'm not making you sad or depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's this. A fake thing.
You're imagining me doing this. Yeah, I didn't do anything.
So that I could also see being like almost like a poster thing of like, this could be wary of AI in the future because this could happen to real people.
Oh, of course.
I love the idea of ads in my dreams. I hope to not live to when that's real.
Speaking of ads in your dreams, you should buy our stuff on the internet right now. Anyway,
I do feel like obviously it's the tragedy of this type of human, right? Mm-hmm. This type of person. Where what happens when you take someone like this who, to a certain degree, feels slighted by the world, right? And you give them like all this exposure and power and stuff, and you see how they take it and what happens, and then what happens when you take that away, right?
That was a sad movie.
Yeah, who this person is. Like, it is sad. I mean, I understand, like, this is not, he's not like the best type of person, but he is an everyman, right?
Yeah.
He's like what you would picture a lot of people reacting to some of the things, right?
That he's not like the worst human being on earth. Those are the people trying to sell ads in your dreams. Those are all bad people. Fuck those people. But he's just like, you feel for him because you're also seeing his side of the story. You don't really see their side.
You know what he is to me? He is a separate timeline version of Walter White.
Because he's bald, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but I mean, because they have very similar origins, right? Where like the world beats them down. You take in Breaking Bad, for instance, you see Walter White as a chemistry teacher, but allegedly he was like smart enough to be part of like some big firm or something or in chemistry, and he just didn't do that, right? And he feels beaten upon by those people and stuff like that. He feels slighted by the world. His life is mundane. It's not, there's no excitement to it. Yeah. So obviously when excitement is introduced, he grabs it, right? Yeah. And it carries him. And you find out that the person underneath isn't like, you know, the best person, but you can easily see why they would go down that way.
Yeah. It feels like a man who touched the top of the mountain and slid down it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get back up there.
I said, this is like a very cringy, weird, trippy version of like what Breaking Bad did with Walter White.
What's the cringiest scene that you died in this movie?
Obviously, it's the one scene. The sex scene was pretty, pretty rough.
That was rough, man.
I'm just like,
I just let you like, oh my, this is so bad. I'm like, dude, it gets worse. Is this the point? Nah.
Because you are climbing the cringe mountain until it becomes sad boy hours.
Because I think that's the cringiest part. Because I do feel like the part where he's trying to sell his story, Sprite's trying to sponsor him or all that shit, I feel like that's cringe because you know it's real. This probably happens to people all the time. Yeah. Where it's like, I want to do this because I'm popular. I mean, becoming popular.
You made a viral TikTok or something.
And right. I want to make my life into this, but everyone that wants to give you money want you to go in this other direction.
Well, it's like I feel this way about a lot of like the old like Vine stars, right? Like the What Are Those kid where he goes on Oprah and just gets a lifetime supply of Vans or whatever bullshit, right? but it is like that, right? Yeah. It is exactly like that.
He's buying those Vans and reselling them.
But all the same size.
Size 5.
Because that's what this is, right?
Yeah.
It just so happens that the person going through it is probably the least interesting person anyone would ever think of.
Which I think makes the movie great.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you followed either like some crazy dude or some like really energetic guy, it wouldn't hit the same. No. You wouldn't feel like, oh, you know, this guy's trying to sell things. Because I feel like, in this scenario, if I was in this scenario, dude, I'd be fucking grabbing up that Sprite sponsorship like it was going out of style. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Let's try to get the money now. I don't know how long this is going to last.
Yeah, you're like, let's go.
Just fuck it. Where he's like, no, he's sticking to his guns. He's like, this is what I want. fuck
he,
everything.
He's also he has a very old way of looking at things as well. Because obviously you know, because we also grow up in, you know, now the age of the internet and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So we understand, we see something like this and we're like, opportunity, let's go. Yeah.
But I also feel like he's not there for the money.
No.
It's the
ego boost.
Yeah, it's the ego boost.
It does. It's also like the golden handcuff effect. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's where like you're in such a good position right now in life. It's like, why give up that to try to do better?
Yeah.
Because you're making.
Because I think now that I think about it, he is a different form of narcissist, right? Because that's what he is, right?
He's definitely a narcissist.
He's a very selfish person, and his image of himself is everything, right?
Yeah.
And that's what, like, this situation pokes holes in that idea of how he views himself and how he views the world through that lens. It's not like your typical, what we think of a narcissist, right? But he, that's what he is.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see him go through this. And that, I think part of that narcissism, part of that pride and ego is what makes his journey interesting, because like you said, you know, he does stick to his guns, but that's why, right? That's why, because that's his ideal image of himself. That's what should be.
I want to be a published author.
Yeah, well, not even that. It's a published author of like some niche subject, you know?
It's like, yeah, you could be, but it's like, you're not going to become popular from it. Like, even if he did like make his book and wasn't about dreams and stuff, he probably would have been like, you know, a no-named author, but someone would have read it.
Well, but even then, right? It's like he didn't care about like the big fame, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he liked the ego boost of people actually paying attention to him, right? But even when he said with the book, he only wanted to be popular in his field, right? That's all he really cared about.
Yeah.
It's like his vision wasn't that grand. It's just like, I want to be number one. In my sphere. Yeah.
Well, like his whole spiel at the beginning, it was just basically begging this other researcher, like
cut me in.
Yeah, cut me in. Like I helped you develop this or whatever, and I'm not even like a co-writer or like whatever.
My name's not on.
He's not. It's all he wanted.
Yeah, he just wanted his name out there, so he's. It's not like he wants to die a king. He just wants to be there, not as a
better. Well, yeah, I feel like it's also like your standard. You have a poor person that'd be more than happy to win $10,000, but then they win like the Mega Lotto.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what.
And then they burn it all.
Yeah, and you watch as their life just goes careening down into the abyss.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. I think it's just like the idea of what virality and fame can do to a person in certain conditions. And how it'll just take them up, spit them out, and I mean,
and then you become popular in a different country.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fine. Fuck it.
Exactly.
What'd you think of this movie? Like, give it a rating. I think I like this movie a lot more.
I gave it an 8.
This is what I think. I think it's an 8. Like, I was cringing and I hated it, but for what it was doing, it's a really good movie.
I was 8. I really like this movie.
I want to watch it again.
8.5.
Yeah, it's like an 8.
Yeah.
The feeling it reminded me of is when I watched The Lobster. It's very, very similar. Do you ever see that movie?
This is more watchable than The Lobster, though.
Because it's funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by the end of this film, I felt similarly.
I've been meaning to watch it. I haven't put it on.
Because the end of The Lobster is very, it's like this. It's just kind of
soul crushing.
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
I feel like the ending for this was depressing, but you can see it going up again. Like,
yeah, possibly.
It felt like it took the roller coaster in the last few scenes where his life just fucking spiraled straight down.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the last scene was like a little bump.
It's going bittersweet back up. Because I think at the end, he did kind of achieve what he wanted.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost?
But I feel like maybe at some point he might get back together, or at least he'll be closer to family. Like, I feel like he's trying to, was trying to change that, but
yeah,
it's one of those it just ends. Well,
that's the thing. He hit rock bottom, right?
Yeah.
So he just has to crawl his way out of the hole now.
Yeah. So he climbed to the top of the mountain, slid all the way down, and now he's there.
What a nice house for being a professor.
See, I thought that too. I'm just like, dude, tenured professors make that kind of money? I'm like, I mean, I don't think so.
His wife was an architect.
I think it's probably like they both did good. It was the, you know, they're older, so you know.
They got that property before it all went to shit.
It's easier to save money then than now, right, world?
Like we bought this one. This was only that was a
fucking nice ass house, dude. I was just like, fuck.
Nice neighborhood.
It was a nice neighborhood. Dude.
Yeah, I could see him probably made arguably good money of that because
it's like
period.
It's like a New England East Coast too. Yeah.
It was Massachusetts, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that's what the ID said for a second.
Oh, okay.
It's Osler Real University.
Is which one?
Osler. Is that Real University?
But it's supposed to be just like a play on, you know, your standard New England Ivy League.
Yeah.
Or I don't think it was Ivy League. Or like adjacent.
Yeah.
I did like that surprise Michael Cera.
Yeah, surprise Michael Cera was great.
All the people at the dining room table were all like famous actors and actresses. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I've seen that guy. Why is he in here?
Yeah, that guy.
Who's the director by too? Or someone famous, wasn't it?
Probably. I don't know.
You guys were talking about.
It was produced by Ari Aster.
Oh, that's
yeah,
what it was.
It's produced by Ari Aster, yeah. I don't remember who it was directed by.
I'll look it up real quick. But I don't know. I said it was a fun movie. I will never watch this again because I don't think I can handle it.
I don't know. Nicky's performance in this movie is top tier.
It is very top tier. It's very good.
For me, I think top five.
Top five Nick Cage movies. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, performances. I don't know. Movies.
Christopher Bogley. Okay. Bogley.
Top five.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I don't know. He was the writer and producer of it.
Oh, interesting.
Or director.
Director, yeah. Interesting.
16 movies. But, yeah.
Dream scenario, Nicolas Cage.
I'll say, I love the movie about my dad.
I am your nightmare.
My dad looked like. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, and someone was standing in the corner. And I just rolled back over, and I'm like, I'm going to sleep on this side today. And I'm not going to look at
someone. I remember watching that thing, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I do want to talk about the scene. I like the part where she's like, go in the corner. He's just like,
more back. In the corner.
Like, there's too much light. It's just awkward. Anyway, thanks for watching. Yep. We'll be probably watching more Nicolas Cage at some point in our lives. Probably soon. We'll watch some spider movies.
Some long legs.
Some Spider-Man.
I don't even think it's about spiders.
Who knows? We'll find out.
We don't know.
Well, I can't wait for the new Spider-Man with Nicolas Cage. See you next time.
Spider-Man. Bye. Isn't there supposed to be like...